Welcome to the Henry Cuenca Radio Show on KKRN Community Radio, licensed in Bella Vista, California, and transmitting from Round Mountain. Here we explore the lives of triumphant humans who endure life's persistent challenges. Our guests are driven by passion and inspiration and live with a compelling sense of purpose. Their persistence, perseverance are brought on by tragic episodes or by wonderfully cradled lives. But for whatever reasons, guests will openly share their innermost feelings and beliefs that fuel their works. With determination, courage, and insistence, our guests are driven to put more into life than they take out. Please listen to these inspirational, triumphant human stories. And yes, I am Henry Cuenca. Today, I am introducing a pair united in faith, a son and mother. Both are determined. The son, Jordan, is a vibrant advocate of determination, character, appreciation, and learning to fail. Yes, learning to fail. His mother, Heather, is a strong supporter of her children with visionary accomplishments in her own professional pursuits. Destined toward greatness, this wiry 6-foot-plus Northern California first selection basketball player's acclaim suddenly came to a questionable halt. And following a debilitating injury, or at least one would have thought, however, through faith and one of his weaknesses, not knowing when to give up, his life is now fully back on track. Join me in listening to this heartfelt story. Jordan Spaschak and Heather Armolino, welcome to today's show.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Good to be here today.
Well, I'm really looking forward to having our listeners hear your story. And Jordan, why don't you start us off? And you know, you're a tremendous young man of faith that has carried you through enormous medical challenges, playing the love of your life, basketball. After enduring 5 major operations, how have these cumulative experiences contributed to your state of being?
Yeah, that's a good question. Above all things that I've learned through these surgeries, I think that ultimately it allowed me to tap into and reveal to me who I've been created to be, and that's a courageous and determined young man of faith. Day after day, I had to choose to believe in God and choose to be a courageous and determined young man. And it was in that choice where I could slowly start to see my triumph unfold.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's those are beautiful words coming from a young person. Heather, what's your perspective on this?
Well, Jordan, from as long as I can remember, was an extremely determined little boy. So much so that I sometimes worried that he was a little too stubborn. But that's what leads us to what he calls his sometimes weakness of not knowing when to give up. So I can say that he, where most of us would have been extremely discouraged and down, he did not allow himself that privilege, but he kept his eye focused ahead and chose each day to be positive and do what he could to make things better.
Well, those are pretty strong affirmations. Jordan, could you set the stage for us? Could you set the stage for us before these accidents occurred? Just what you were doing in schooling and your overall activities, looking forward to basketball and so forth. Just set the stage for us before these tragic incidences began.
Yeah, so I grew up with 3 older brothers, and basically all we did was play sports. We'd be outside from dawn to dusk competing against one another, and I'm the youngest of the 4, as I just mentioned, so I got knocked down quite a bit.
Right.
I had to learn how to get up in those experiences, and I learned to love sports, but more importantly, love basketball. It became my love, and I really didn't dream much much outside of basketball.
That was pretty much the vision at the time, huh?
Correct, yeah. Still is for the most part, but I'd say until I got into college, I really didn't dream outside of basketball. Mm-hmm. It was everything to me and taught me a lot about life, but I've always loved the game.
How did basketball actually get started in your life?
Yeah, it's a good question. My dad grew up playing basketball and played into college. My mom's brother, so my uncle, still holds the record in Rockland County in New York for most points scored. So
really?
I think, yeah.
Wow. That's significant.
Very much.
And, most points scored in one game?
No, over
season?
Over a career.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, he had 2,300 points in college, which is super impressive, and it was without a 3-point line. So
my goodness,
yeah, hard to fathom.
And he played for what school?
Nyack College in New York.
Uh-huh.
Where my mom went to school, and a lot of other other relatives went as well. So it kind of just came naturally, I guess. I probably
well, sure, had, sounds that way.
Yeah, I probably had a ball in my hand since probably the day I was born.
So. Your mother is smiling. Heather, did you ever go out and play one-on-one with your children?
I have played a few games of horse with Jordan.
She probably won't tell you, but she can beat me in a horse probably still to this day.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Jordan, tell us about right before the – I'd like for you to work us through each of the five injuries that you experienced. In fact, both of you. Start with the very first one and the emotions you went through, the physical aspects, the pain, and what it, emotionally these events, injuries, actually meant to you, yeah. Or to you both, I should say.
Okay, so my first surgery was an ACL surgery. I tore my ACL in September of my junior year of high school, and was a really hard one for me to accept, and I'll get into why. So because it was going to be my first year of varsity, my sophomore year, there were actually five people my age who got moved up to the varsity team ahead of me. So the summer going into my junior year, it was everything I had to prove myself and show the coach that I belonged to play at that level. So going down to a camp in Sacramento, September, trying to prove myself, went behind the back and tore my right ACL.
Could you explain to us what to our listeners who may not really know what an ACL is?
Yeah, so it's a ligament in your knee, kind of the main one that holds your knee together, and without it, it's hard to function. It stands for anterior cruciate ligament.
Mm-hmm. And it was this first injury where you tore the ACL?
Yes, correct.
Were your parents at the game?
My mom was, yeah.
Tell us about when you first saw the fall.
Yeah, I saw him drive like I've seen him do so many times, and he went down and didn't come up. And the coach that was there thought, oh, he's probably just sprained his knee. He'll be fine. But knowing how tough Jordan is, I wondered what really had happened because he was done. He wasn't getting back up.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't find out for a few days yet, but that was what the result was. And when that tears, it doesn't heal by itself. It's ripped in half.
Mm-hmm. And you were playing, this was the high school level, is that correct?
Yeah, at a camp down in Sacramento.
Uh-huh. And when the reality from the medical perspective stepped in and they said, okay, this doesn't look too good, what was the prognosis at that point?
Initially, when I saw the doctor, he ordered an MRI, and so we went ahead and got the MRI, and then I think a week or so later, we got the results back, and he brought me into his office and just said, your ACL is done, and we got to have surgery to have it repaired, and which is a 8 to 12-month recovery.
That's a long time. And you endured the recovery period?
Yes, to a degree, yeah. I mean, it wasn't super easy, and I think through my first surgery, there was a lot more blaming God than taking responsibility for maybe something that I could have done to prevent injuries.
Oh, my goodness sakes. So what was your emotional quotient through this period?
So I can remember when I was initially told, getting in the car and crying with my mom and just kind of wondering why me. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of blaming God for what had happened and wondering why would this happen? I worked so hard to get to this point, finally going to be on a varsity team and be able to play with guys that I grew up with, be able to play in front of large packed out crowds and hopefully win a championship. And here I'm sitting with a torn ACL and not going to be able to play my whole junior season. Mm-hmm. So, it was tough.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
God is an easy target a lot of times when things don't go right, isn't he?
Sure. Yeah.
So you went the 8 or 9 months of healing, and I presume at that time you're going through physical therapy. You were not bouncing the ball. And so after that period, what was the next step onto the court?
I think 6 months in, I was cleared to start working out on the court. Nothing laterally, just straight ahead, jump shots and things of that nature. And then 8 months in, I was cleared to go ahead and play. And so I played an AAU season and felt fine. And felt fine all summer, and then went into my senior season, where at the end is where I tore my second ACL.
But, oh boy, same knee?
A different knee this time.
Oh my goodness sakes.
Up until that second knee surgery, I felt fine. I felt completely healthy and didn't deal with any pain at all.
So you endured another period. And take us to the next break. How far of a lapse did that occur?
It was about a year and a half, because it was March of his senior year and they were entering into the state playoffs. It was a big deal. Jordan went into it with a sprained ankle, I think.
Oh my goodness, like, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't 100%?
Probably not, but I don't think it had any effect on the injury that mm-hmm. happened.
Mm-hmm. So, but despite that, there was a turnover, and he was determined to chase that player down the court and stop him. So he went up for the block and came down wrong. And
oh my goodness!
In front of the crowd there.
Watching all this, your heart must have just fractured.
Yeah, it was tough to watch, and we had that one on film. So Jordan's rewatched it many times. I choose not to see that again.
My goodness sake. So that's 3 out of 5, right?
That was just the second of the five.
The second out of five. Oh, yeah. So we have a few more to go.
Yeah, we do.
my goodness sake. Take us to the next step.
So after that second surgery, I was cleared again after 6 months to be able to go ahead and start some on-court workouts without lateral movement. And I did a pump fake that Rajon Rondo, who plays in the NBA, always does, and I was working on it. And as I did the pump fake, I think stretched a little bit too far on the fake and tore my third ACL.
And that was it. My goodness sakes. Jordan, you are superhuman, I think, in your bones, your body. But we're going to have to take a quick break right now. We're going to come back to these remaining injuries. And this is if you're just tuning in, this is the Henry Cuenca Radio Show on KKRN 88.5, listener-supported radio. And I am interviewing today a mother and son team. And we're going to take a very short break right now, and we're going to be right back. You are listening to the Henry Cuenca Radio Show on KKRN, Community Supported Radio. And today, my guests are Jordan Spashtak and Heather Armolino. And Jordan, you have taken us, or Heather and Jordan, you have taken us through three of your injuries. Walk us through the other two remaining.
Okay, so after my third surgery, because it was a re-tearing of my second ACL, they had to do what's called a bone graft. So they went in and did my fourth surgery with the bone graft, and that took 4 months to heal. And then 14 months after that, I'd been experiencing a ton of pain and couldn't seem to get over any hurdles in physical therapy. So I went in to see my doctor, and he looked at the MRI, came in and said, "Jordan, I've done 5,000 to 6,000 of these surgeries.
Oh, my goodness sakes, really?
I've never seen what's happening with your knee. There's nothing that you or I did wrong. It's just an extreme case of bad luck. The best way to describe it is you got struck by lightning."
My goodness.
So that set up my fifth surgery, my fifth and fortunately my final surgery to this day.
So, Heather, what were you thinking about, you know, on the broader sense of things, seeing your son, raising your son, or and adept as he was and committed to as he was to endure these five surgeries?
Yeah, that was really hard to watch. You don't want to see anybody in pain, and to watch your kid go through that over and over again, and the disappointment and missing out. And yet, he taught me a lot because he was so committed to getting better and focusing on that, and didn't allow himself to complain about things, which was pretty remarkable. I would say after that fourth surgery, I just didn't want him to think about basketball anymore.
Because as far as you were concerned, he could hang up the jock?
Yeah, I didn't want him getting hurt anymore. And so that was kind of where I lost hope on that court. But he didn't. He never gave up on that.
Jordan, where do you stand now as far as future competition on the court?
So in the fall, this fall, I'll be headed down to Westmont College in Santa Barbara.
You have a scholarship?
Yes, I do, fortunately.
That's a great school.
Yeah, it is. I'm super excited and thrilled with the opportunity to head down there and learn at a great school and also enter into a really good basketball program.
And throughout this whole process, I presume that your academic achievements were, you were meeting all the grades, or you didn't miss school, or did you miss school?
Maybe a week or two during surgeries, but I was still able to keep my GPA up and be eligible to transfer to a school that I'll be at.
So you've expressed a very, very strong faith. Where did the seeds of this faith actually begin?
Well, both my parents believed in God. I wasn't pushed heavily to be in the church, but 6 months after my first surgery, I kind of began to believe that there was something more out there. And so I heard of a young adult gathering at the Stirring Church that was scheduled at 6 p.m. And so I was like, great, I'm in high school. I don't want to get up early and go to church, so 6 p.m. sounds awesome. So I checked it out one time and loved it. Absolutely fell in love with what the Stirring Church is about and their leaders and the way they teach the gospel. And since then, I could probably count on my hands the number of Sundays I've missed. So
really? You raised a very faithful, believing son.
Yeah, that's right. And he has been a part of a great group of believers and has had an extended family, I think, that has come to be as a result of those connections.
You actually taught or worked with other students in the church, did you not?
Not super closely, no.
So this faith really began with your parents. You say it wasn't thrown at you, and it was sort of systemic. And presume at some point you forgave God for the injuries.
That's another story.
Tell us that.
Okay, I'd love to. I'd say through walking with God and developing my relationship with Him, I began to realize kind of what free will is, and that God isn't a controlling God, because that'd be no fun. I think after my second surgery, I began to study free will and realized that that I could have taken responsibility for a lot of things that I did to have an ACL tear three times. Things such as my diet or playing too much, because I used to play basketball all day long and probably overworked myself. But diet, overworking, and things of that nature come into play with surgeries and injuries. And so now, with that being said, I'm super thankful that these surgeries happened, because they taught me so much about myself. But yeah.
What is the biggest thing that you learned about yourself?
There's so much I could say on that. I could probably write a book about it, but as I mentioned earlier,
have you ever thought of it?
Briefly, yeah, maybe.
Well, what is your biggest takeaway about yourself?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, that I was able to tap into my courageous and determined self, mm-hmm. and I know that through going through these surgeries, there was when I didn't know or was convinced that I physically would be unhealthy to play or unable to play, there was two things that kept me going. And one of them was, I want to be a teacher. So I could see myself like 10 years into teaching in front of my class, wishing that I would have given it everything I had when I had the chance to back when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And that was an uneasy feeling, and I never wanted to feel that. So I had to give it everything I had, and I'm thankful I did. And then the other is knowing that through overcoming these surgeries, that I would kind of have this mental edge and this history with God through facing obstacles and future storms in my life. And even just 2 years out of my fifth surgery, I've been able to lean on these experiences and use them and apply them to my life.
So you want to be a teacher?
I do.
What kind of a teacher?
Excuse me. I would like to be a junior high math teacher. It's been my dream since I was actually in junior high.
So it's not going to be basketball?
You know, maybe. I don't think I'll ever be able to leave the game of basketball as far as coaching. But yeah, my passion has always been to run a character building program, and I'd like to do that through the school where I teach at.
Well, that's certainly a worthwhile goal. So you're going to be leaving the area to go to school here in a couple of months, right? let's talk, Heather. Let's talk about your visionary talents. Tell us what you do.
Well, I have the privilege of being a principal at a K-8 school here in town. This is my fourth year, but I was also a teacher there for 15 years, and all of my children attended school there, and it's a pretty special place.
And so tell me your responsibilities.
Well, I think what makes our school unique is certainly the committed teachers that I have, and it is a place that feels very much like a large family of 600 plus kids, and we are about developing young people, not just teaching reading and math, but bringing about people who are going to make a difference in the future and make the world better. So
we need a lot of that, don't we?
And I know that not everybody can say that they go to work with that in mind, that they are making an impact
true.
On the future. And
that's
so
true.
I feel very privileged to have that kind of meaning in what I do each day.
Well, your school has reached some honorable, respectable places. I know you are a honor roll school.
That's right. The last 2 years, we've been a California honor roll school.
Explain to our guests what an honor roll school is.
So these are schools who are showing that they're closing the achievement gap, which means that we do have a high number of students in poverty. We're close to 70%, and that's pretty indicative
of
our district is at about that rate as well. However, our kids are achieving at much higher levels compared to other children in that bracket. Mm-hmm. So there are good things happening, and a lot of that comes as a result of having nurturing relationships with the students you work for. Mm-hmm. We are working for them. And, creating that desire in them to learn and connecting them to the community so that they have opportunities to give back and know that they are able to make a difference even mm-hmm. now.
So as I understand, there's about 400 to 500 honor roll schools in the country.
Well, that is the national schools to watch, I think, uh-huh. that you're referring to. Uh-huh. And that is specific to our middle school program. And, yes, we are one of only about 400 schools in the nation that have achieved that status, and maybe close to 40 in California. We're the only school up here in the North State. And that is, again, because not only of the high-achieving academics with our middle school kids, but having a program that's very responsive to mm-hmm. very unique needs that kids have as early adolescents.
And how long have you been in this position as principal?
This will be my fourth year.
So that's quite an achievement.
And I had the advantage of having been a teacher there and already knowing, you know, mm-hmm. our culture and our families and our teachers very mm-hmm. well. So that gave me a jump start, I think.
Well, yes, for sure. What is the key thing that you feel that you have done to reach these heights of achievement?
Well, for me, I think that my number one job is to remind my staff of their why, because everybody gets into education pretty much for the same reason. We want to help kids. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard job, and it's easy to lose.
In this day and age, I would think it's...
It's very challenging. And sometimes that can be overwhelming because you don't know that you can meet all the needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep coming back to why we're doing this, because that puts everything else in perspective and gives you a reason to continue to work as hard as you can mm-hmm. because it matters that much. So I kind of try to start every day and every meeting with teachers revolved around remember your why.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how big of a staff do you have in school?
We have about 30 teachers, and mm-hmm. then a number of instructional aides, and you mm-hmm. know, our support staff, cafeteria, and maintenance, and mm-hmm. so it's a lot of people, and we have about 630 kids.
What would you define as your biggest challenge at school?
Well.
You can say, I don't have any.
Well, there are many, I guess. But, you know, I think coming back to helping kids understand that they are capable of more than they think they are, and seeing that there's so much out there in the world, and connecting them to that hope that life can be a mm-hmm. lot different for them.
Mm-hmm. So this is really gets really down to the emotional side of connecting with people. And it's just not a matter of columns of numbers, right? So you obviously are aware of this, and you've conquered this. And I would say that you're pretty good at the helm. So do you have a vision for the future for your school?
I would like to see every one of our classrooms being just the highest level of excellence. Mm-hmm. And to be more connected in our community and in the world. And we're starting to do some of that, but I'd like to see more and more of that.
Well, very good. I have a couple of the questions about that point, but we have to take another break right now. And you are listening to the Henry Cuenca Radio Show on KKRN Community Supported Radio. And I am Henry Cuenca. And my guests today are George Bastak and his mother, Heather Armelino. And we're going to take a short break, so don't go too far. We're going to be right back.
Hey,
Heather, we were talking about your achievements in school, and you referred to you have outreach programs that seem to very, very core things, part of your curriculum. So could you tell us about some of these programs that you've initiated for your students?
Sure. We are all about developing leadership in our kids, so and giving them that sense of a responsibility to the world around them. So some of the things that we've done this year are to raise money school-wide for service dogs for veterans, and that was something all of our kids got on board with.
Jeez, what a beautiful idea.
Yeah, and a great need. And it was, you know, we had them come to our school so that we could present that to them. So the kids got to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
And then we established some pen pals with a school in Kenya and exchanged pictures. And from there, we had some video going back and forth to see their school and pictures of their school. And then our student body again took on a fundraiser and raised money to purchase water filters, and we were able to purchase 7 of them. Uh-huh. And they even have QRC codes, so we can look them up on the internet and see exactly where they
24/7,
are.
24/7, live streaming. Huh?
So it helped students then connect with people all across the world.
What an experience.
Yeah, whose lives are so vastly different, and yet they could also identify the ways in which they are the same as children.
Well, absolutely.
And so, you know, we also integrate that with some of the novels that they've read in class and those assignments. And in science, they, you know, tried building their own water filters. So when you're making things relevant and meaningful to that degree, you know that they're going to take that with them.
And I would suspect that these are life-changing experiences for many of your students.
They are, and that is the beauty of being at a K-8. I get to see those transformations even more than the teachers do, mm-hmm. watching kids grow and develop from the time when they first mm-hmm. arrive at school until they're heading off to high school. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing opportunity.
What a gratifying experience. My goodness sakes, just absolutely beautiful things to hear. What do you have on the works for another outreach program?
Well, you know, we try to have the kids give as much input as possible.
Understandably.
So we'll continue with Kenya and the veterans, and we'll see what other ideas we can come up with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just very, very impressive. Very, very. And actually, it's heartwarming to hear these stories. So that must Jordan, this must weigh on your mind to see your mother come up with these beautiful concepts and put them into action, and possibly inspirations for you when you get into a classroom.
Yeah, certainly. I feel incredibly fortunate to have my mom.
You have a good mom.
Yeah, yeah. that sums it up.
I know you had some key events, Jordan, various tournaments throughout the states, and I wonder if you could pick one or two of these key events that occurred throughout your basketball career, and tell us about them.
Okay, the first one that comes to mind would be this year at Shasta College, and I can't remember our record going into conference, but I think we were 4-0, and Butte College just up the road was also 4-0, and they came to our place to play, and we were up 20 on them.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
it is. How many minutes remaining?
I think there was 13 left, and we were up. Finally got up 20 points and ended up losing the game in overtime.
My goodness sakes.
And 2 weeks later, we got the opportunity to play them again. They were 8-0, and we were 7-1 with our lone loss.
We lost to them, right?
Correct.
And where was this game being played?
This was up at Butte this time.
And their home court, that's worth 2 or 3 points, right?
Yeah, essentially the conference championship, and Shasta College hasn't won one of those in, I think, 12 years outright. And I could be wrong about that. It had been quite a while, though. And this time we were down 11 with 8 minutes to go. So,
boy, what a reversal.
Uh-huh. And we had a lot of fans travel to that game. It was kind of a home game for us, ironically. And there was 2 minutes left, I think, and it was tied up. And we came down, and I remember driving baseline and kicking it to our best three-point shooter, and he hit a three. And I can remember the roar of the crowd when we went up 3 points on this undefeated team in conference when I think they were the third team in the state at the time. And ended up winning the game, and it was a lot of fun knowing all the hard work we put in to be able to seal that conference championship.
What a story. There's nothing like a basketball game.
Yep.
You know, I played basketball, you know. That we didn't have backboards in those days. But I know the thrill of a basketball game. You had said at some point during our meeting that you don't know how to give up.
Mm-hmm.
With all the experiences you've gone through, I see a glimmer of maybe understanding that. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if you could clear up for us what you really mean by that you've learned never to give up.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm still clearing it up in my own head.
Oh, well, that's great. Work in process.
Yeah. I think I'm learning more about what that means as I grow older. But as of now, I think with growing up with three older brothers, I learned how to not give up. And mm-hmm. I often tell people it's a blessing and a curse. I think more often than not, it'll be a blessing in my life. But I'm just so, like my mom said earlier, stubborn in a sense and determined that I don't know how to give up on things.
Yeah.
And I think that'll come to help me when I'm a husband
I don't
and
think
father.
I don't think there's any question about that. You had said that your mother would say prayers with you every night. I'd like to hear from both of you about that and what it meant to you at the time, Jordan, what you thought about that, and what do you think about that now?
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah.
I think until sixth grade, I would have my mom tuck me in every night and say a prayer with me. And I remember my brothers used to tease me about it, like, come on, dude, you're in sixth grade. Mom doesn't need to tuck you in anymore. And I'm not sure if they were aware that she was praying with me or not, but it's something that was really near and dear to my heart. And looking back on it, I realized how much protection and covering I had over me because of those prayers every night. Mm-hmm. I felt so safe and secure when she would speak over me. And
It's wonderful to hear you say that. Okay, Mom, let's hear your perspective on this.
Well, those are certainly memories that you cherish. I did that with all of my boys for as long as they would let me. Jordan was just a little bit nicer. He let me do that a little bit longer.
So. He probably apologized to you.
He thanked me. He thanked me a lot for things.
So it was just part of being a good mom.
Well, I did the best that I could, and I think that was always a special time when you're saying goodnight and you want
sure,
to
understand.
Yeah, peace.
Jordan, at one point you had said that you shoot for building character with your teammates on the basketball court. Could you tell us just exactly what you meant by that?
Yeah, when I was in seventh grade, I had a teacher named Miss Wagner who started a character building program actually at Mistletoe School where my mom is, and It was there where I learned to be a leader and realized the importance of instilling character into people and when it was instilled into me. And so I feel like that's my biggest challenge as a basketball player. I play for reasons now that are much bigger than just putting a ball in a basket. I love the challenge of instilling character into my teammates and being a leader and a role model and someone that they can look up to and someone that they can come share things with and feel comfortable enough to be honest with me about maybe things that they're going through. And I think that if I come from a place of vulnerability and can share some of my struggles and experiences, that they in turn feel comfortable around me, comfortable enough to share what they're going through. And so,
Jordan, have you ever had any of your teammates actually come to you and tell you how your faith and the way that you conduct yourself has actually had meaning to them?
Yeah, I think there have been a handful of times where teammates have reached out to me and thanked me for my faith and sticking out my dream of playing basketball, and that they've been inspired by it.
Mm-hmm. Heather, you said that your son was determined even as a toddler.
Yes.
Could you give us some examples of how that determination manifested? And did that determination manifest differently with each of the boys? Because your children were just 2 years apart, right? You had four children, 2, 4, 6, and 8. Did he stick out?
He did. And I think that, you know, I'm also the youngest in my family, so I can probably relate a little bit more. But because he was the youngest, he had to work harder, but he would never, he never wanted to be treated like he was the little brother. So he would do whatever it took to be able to compete on their level. And so I think that the more he did that, the more his confidence grew. And he also learned how to fail in those situations and to get back up and try again and mm-hmm. be determined that no, I'm going to be able to meet that mark where my big brother is. And mm-hmm. so he always had that goal in mm-hmm. mind and kept chipping away at it.
So Jordan was which number? Number three?
He's number four.
Number four. So you were the youngest, mm-hmm. absolute the youngest. How did it feel to grow up as the youngest?
I loved it, honestly. I got to learn from my older brothers, and like my mom just mentioned, she was the youngest, so we were able to relate on that level. And I think, yeah.
Well, that's great. I also learned that you had to really eat fast.
Yeah.
At dinner time, tell us about that.
Yeah, I can remember we talked about how everything was a competition, and I mentioned that even at the dinner table it was a competition to see who could eat the fastest. Or I think once a week we got pizza, and I would try and eat as fast as I could so I could get slices, because with a lot of people in the family,
what a
we
family
had to eat
dynamic.
Fast.
Well, that is just terrific. We're coming up to a break again. So this is, if you're just tuning in, this is the Henry Cuenca Radio Show on KKRN 88.5 Listener Support Radio. And today my guests are Jordan Spashtak and his mother, Heather Amelino. And we're going to take a very short break, but we're going to go back. We're going to come back real quick, and we're going to continue our interview to the end of the show. So we're going to be right back. Don't go away too far. Thank you. Jordan, I know that there have been people that have inspired you and that have played very much a part in your growth. One is John Wooden. And tell us how John Wooden has actually settled into your being and helping you develop your way of life.
That's a good question, Henry. John Wooden, I was first introduced to John Wooden. My high school coach would always read an excerpt from his book called Wooden before every single game. And after I got done playing for him, I got the book myself and started reading it and began to fall in love with his philosophies and the way he coached, and just noticed how he simplifies everything. And something as simple as control what you can control, which is what he wrote in his book, resonated with me so much. And I was able to apply that to my life and found it to be very encouraging along my journey of going through these surgeries.
Mm-hmm. Well, for some of our listeners that may not know, John Wooden was the coach, basketball coach at UCLA, was known as the Wizard of Westwood. And he won 10 national NCAA playoffs, which still stands as a record. He won 7 in a row. He developed, do you remember the Pyramid of Success?
Of course, yeah.
You do, really?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
I don't remember them all. I know that at the top is competitive greatness, and the cornerstones are industriousness and enthusiasm. So he stresses the importance of loving what you do and working hard at what you do, and my mom's a great example of that.
So that has stuck with you for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. Did you ever meet him?
I did not.
Yeah, I ran into him at Stanford one day. We actually bumped into each other.
Oh, how cool.
Halftime or something. Maybe it was the end of the game. They lost to Stanford by 1 point, I think it was. Another inspiration to you has been Brandi Chastain. Tell us who she is and her acclaim and how she has set the barometer for you.
Yeah, she's been instrumental to me. I could go on for an hour talking about what.
Oh, we've got it all. 9 minutes left.
she means so much to me.
Have you ever met her?
I have not, but I need to reach out to her. Let's see. She wrote an article to her 19 or a letter to her 19-year-old self that was published in the Players Tribune. And when I first read that, these words were everything to me. They were like gold. She actually experienced 2 ACL surgeries, a meniscus tear, and was away from the game that she loved for almost 2.5 years. And she wrote to herself during that time. And a little bit about her journey. In 1991, she's a soccer player, and she made the World Cup team.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, and she didn't get a lot of playing time, but she said there she learned how to be a great teammate. And in 95, she actually got cut from the team. And in 99, she made the team again, and they were on a historic run. And in the World Cup final, it was tied with China, and it went to PKs. Now, keep in mind, this was in Pasadena, our own backyard, the World Cup, 90,000 plus in attendance. So it set a record for women's sporting mm-hmm. events. And it was tied up, PKs. China made 4 of their 5, and U.S. made 4 with 1 to go. And Brandi Chastain is the last to kick. And so... She hits the shot, and she takes off her jersey, and she's just in her sports bra and slides on her knees. And there's a picture that was taken with the crowd and her teammates behind her, and that I still have on the background of my phone.
Really?
One of the most iconic shots in women's sports history. But it speaks to so much more. It speaks to her journey of heartbreak and the things that she endured to get to that moment.
Inspirational story. She's a California lady, isn't she?
She is. Yeah, I think she grew up in the Bay Area and attended Santa Clara.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you could look her up someday.
Yeah, and I need to. She's taught me so much. I think the most important thing she taught me, and she spoke about it or wrote about it in her article, is the importance of embracing your pain and feeling it and acknowledging it and processing it. I had never known how to do that until I read those words. I had always shied away from pain and act like it wasn't there. But through reading those words, I began to process it in my own life. I watched it take shape into determination. And
what a mature individual, Heather. Heather, who has been some of your inspirations during your life?
Oddly enough, John Wooden is one of my heroes.
Really?
Martin Luther King Jr., for sure. Abraham Lincoln, and my father.
Uh-huh. Well, it was your father predicted that told you to be a principal someday, right?
Yeah. When I was 19 and was talking to my parents about my major in college, and they were the ones encouraging me to go into education, my dad said, well, you know, you really ought to be a principal. Which I laughed off at the time because...
Were you thinking of going into education at that
time? They talked me into it at the time, yes. But I had put that comment aside and not thought about it again until I accepted that position as principal. And then those words came back to me.
Boy,
my
understand.
Father from many years ago.
I had your father had insight into the future.
He knew.
So, Heather, do you read? I presume as a principal you read a lot?
I read a lot.
What kinds of things do you read?
I read things about education and learning. I read a lot about what it means to be a good leader in general. That's why I am drawn to things like people who have really made a mark in the world, like mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr. and Abraham Lincoln are mm-hmm. just incredible leaders. John Wooden as well.
I think John Wooden is a Tiffany.
We have so much to learn from them.
Honesty, integrity, hard work, right?
Right.
Right down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Have you ever thought of having your son come speak to your students?
Yeah, I had him do that
Did
this past
really?
Year, actually.
Really?
I talked him into bringing his entire team over to do an assembly for our kids.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I interviewed some of the players about what sports has taught them in life and to talk a little bit about the importance of going to college. And then Jordan wrapped it up telling a little bit about his story. And as a former student at Mistletoe, he was also able to talk about that and that he knew right where they were at.
So what is the median age of your students?
Well, they range from 5 to 14, mm-hmm. or 4 actually. We have pre-K there also. Uh-huh. So we had all of our 4th through 8th graders there for that event. So that's from about 9 years old to 14. And it was a great day. The kids loved it.
I would think so. What a beautiful thought of having mom invite son and other players to come to speak to.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you your kids at school still remember that.
They do.
Yeah.
They absolutely do.
Just remarkable.
As do our basketball players or my teammates. I think it actually taught our guys more than it probably taught the kids.
You're right.
They're just giving back and being able to step outside and get in the community. It was a really cool experience for us.
Oh, I can just imagine. We have a couple of more minutes remaining. I want to ask each of you same question. Jordan, what is bliss to you?
That's a really good question. I remember probably about a month ago, I was walking in my mom's backyard in a trail with her, my niece, and my mom's dog. And there was this peace that came over me, like, these are the most sacred moments that we have. To be with family, to be with the ones that you love, that those are the most blissful moments, to be surrounded by the people who love you and that you love. So, yeah.
I don't know whether you can get better than that. Heather, what is bliss to you?
Well, you know, I have to agree with what Jordan is saying. There's something about being in nature and also being with the people that you love the most that is so incredibly rewarding. And I would also say that I think the most rewarding thing is to be living your life in a way that is making the lives of other people better in some way.
Well, I think, honestly, that both of you are just stellar representatives in our community. And I'm just so thankful to have been able to interview and meet with both of you. And I know my listening audience is going to feel the very same way. So I thank you both for appearing in my show, and I look forward to the airing. And you have been listening to community-supported KKRN at 88.5. We are supported by listeners like you and brought to you by volunteers from the community. Are you ready to support your local community radio? To become a listener supporter, go to our website, kkrn.org, and click on the donate button or mail a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California. Or you can call 530-337-1101 to volunteer at KKRN Community Radio to learn about more about us. Thank you for listening to the Henry Cuenca Radio Show, where we in earnest are working to make our community, our world, a better place. Please tune in to my next show, Tuesday, August 6th at 8 a.m., where you will meet other passionate people of our community. We thank you for listening. I certainly would like to hear from you. Please send me an email at henry@kkrn.org. That's henry@kkrn.org. Or call me directly at 530-356-9811. And thank you very much for listening.